Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Boy, you turned me upside down and round and round.
I was listening to that on the way here.
Upside down, you're turning me. You're giving love instinctively. Around and round, you're turning me. Look at this.
Boom, 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 boom.
I have Tonya on my lap.
Tonya is chewing his bone.
This is the only way he'll stay on my lap.
I know. He needs a chew and he needs a human to prop his chew up again. So you might hear some little teeth on plastic bone sounds.
I like, it's a situation that I'm in where I'm like, I can't even breathe.
You don't even want to move. I see your body language is tense to just hope that Tonya stays.
Because if I move even an inch, he'll go, sorry, you've...
He'll come to mother.
Yeah, or he'll just be like, I'm sorry, but you've lost your chance. Mm-hmm. If I even breathe, if I even, like, my foot slips or something, that could just be, that could be the goodbye. See? So, I have my little sausage right here, my cinnabone.
My kielbasa.
My turkey.
My little turkey.
My deep fried turkey.
Chewing on a wishbone.
Yeah. So, excuse the sounds, but I'm sure everyone likes it.
They love it. It's ASMR. This gave me, this episode, we're doing Mob Wives again for anyone that doesn't
Yay!
Know.
Yay! The finale.
And I was transported back to The Many Saints of Newark, which I watched this past weekend.
And you said it was fine.
It's fine.
It's a fine movie.
I will take whatever Sopranos content I can get in this year of our Lord 2021. It was more of a series of vignettes as opposed to like a feature film with like a narrative thread. But I wasn't mad at it. It was also something that I probably could have watched at home. It didn't necessarily need to be in a theater.
I mean, I was thinking, why don't they just do a whole series?
They should have done a 6-part limited series. I think a lot of the fans feel that way. But I guess I read on some comments thread on an Instagram post, so TBD how true this is, that David Chase signed another overall deal with HBO. So hopefully that means more to come.
Something's coming.
Something's cooking, and it ain't my ZD.
Oh, God.
Danielle.
I hope they don't do some kind of like uncanny thing with the late James Gandolfini and like digitally impose.
No. Yeah. I don't think they would do that. I think they would just hire Michael, his son, who literally is his doppelganger.
He looks exactly like him.
So much like him, and they have a little kid playing him in like the first half of the movie that is such a little cutie who looks just like both of them too.
Is Carmela in
a girl who plays Carmela is in it for like 2 minutes.
Really? Does she look like her?
She looked like her.
Damn.
It's a lot of like giving fans these small moments that they talked about in the actual Sopranos, but I'm like, I would much rather prefer something new than just recreating these moments that were better relayed as dialogue or stories that characters told to reveal family dynamics.
It's weird. I feel like it's hard, even with a show like The Sopranos, which is like the greatest, it's like the most like popular show of all time, basically, or like, you know, prestige show of all time. I feel like it's hard to translate that to a movie. Even The Sopranos, like, I feel like the vibe I was getting, and I love The Sopranos, like, I wasn't
that old enough to really grasp it when it was first out,
but like, I was like, oh, I don't, why would I go see a movie when I could just watch the old, like, if, you know
it
what I mean?
It made me want to just rewatch the show again.
So it's like, just keep it what it is. It's a TV show. Like, maybe just keep it on TV.
Totally. And The Sopranos is more about this, like, rich world of so many characters coming together and their relationships that a movie is just not enough real estate to really explore that deeply and satisfyingly.
Yeah.
But, like,
how's Corey Stoll?
So fucking good. So hot and great as Junior.
I saw last summer someone, it might have been like just a troll clickbait thing, but some gay was like, why is this your king about Corey Stoll?
And like, you were like, yes.
And everyone,
my cock is
piled on this person. And I was like,
they destroyed him.
Yeah, they were like, fuck you. He's the hottest. And I was like,
I wish that his, like,
I was like, you're out of your mind.
His employer should have fired him for that. Like, that to me is a fireable offense, is to, like, come for Corey in that way, who literally everyone wants to fuck. If you don't want to fuck Corey Stoll, something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
You should, like, look into that.
My bald
king. I wish, like, his employer's like, we recently reviewed some tweets from our employee He's and like, we've oh, decided shit. To he let him it, go. We've
he
cut
thinks
ties.
It's some, like, terrible tweet he tweeted
he did
like
years ago
2011 and it's like he's like just sweating and then they're like, oh, the Corey Stoll series,
that's where you really cross the line and we can no longer in good faith employ this man.
I'm all about
justice
it.
Is served,
justice is served.
Yeah, Corey Stoll's great. Is it Alessandro Divola or whatever his name is, who plays some hot fucking actor, plays Dickie Moltisanti,
the main guy?
Yeah,
who plays his dad? Does he have a dad?
Mm-hmm. A hottie.
Okay.
Another hot guy plays Polly.
Vera Farmiga.
Vera Farmiga plays Livia, and she's really good.
Is she abusive?
She's not as, like, hardcore as she was in the series, but life hasn't really, like, had its way with her at this point in the movie.
Life finds a way.
She's the funniest character of any show I've ever seen. She's Livia great. Soprano makes me cry every line she says.
I like Tony's sister.
Love Janice is in it, and the whoever played Janice is like perfect look.
Janice is like has like BPD, right?
BPD queen. She's also just like incredibly narcissistic.
Like a klepto?
Kind of a klepto. She's just a mess. Pathological victim mentality. Me.
She's like
poor
the woman
me.
The woman who wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
That Tanya head who like lied about being a 9/11. I feel like
totally.
Janice would do that.
Janice is always filing like workman's comp for like non-workman's comp type of issue, for like fake issues. She's a fraud. She's a damn fraud.
Well, I'll watch it. I'll watch it this week.
I recommend watching it. I am fighting the urge to go back and watch the whole series. Don't let me do it. I can't.
Just watch Midnight Mass instead.
Okay, well. Do you know what I saw yesterday, too, really quick, that changed my DNA? Titane.
Oh, I was invited to see it, but I couldn't go.
Fucking Titane.
Is it Claire Denis?
No.
No, who directed it?
No.
Oh.
It's, let me
You're like,
honey, no. Get okay, to the film the program. Film, so I went to film school.
The film school.
So I went to Columbia College Film.
Yeah.
So
I didn't.
Don't come for me.
No, I won't.
Titane, Julia Ducournau. She did this movie Raw.
Oh.
Which was also.
I've been afraid to watch it.
You got to get over these things and watch Raw because it's really, really good.
But I was enticed by the trailer.
It's sexy and unhinged, which is a genre that she does perfectly. Titane is one of the most unhinged movies I've ever seen.
Is it
and
horror?
Also, people Sorry are calling it horror, but it's like a thriller and like a meaningful drama.
What's it about?
With horror elements. It's about this girl named Alexia who has gets in a car accident when she's a kid, and she has to get a titanium plate put in her head. 13. And it causes her to be like sexually attracted to cars.
Oh, so it's like a Cronenberg kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like body horror. Uh-huh. Like, it's, I don't want to give much away. But I will say that she does fuck a car in it.
Hell yeah.
And I'm really here for anyone who wants to fuck a car.
I've seen
a sexy car, not like a Ford Focus.
I mean, I've seen on My Strange Addiction that guy, like,
he fucked his car. Was it cars or more inanimate objects? Like big inanimate objects.
He was in a relationship with his car.
He was Titan.
He was like in the driveway being like, I love you so much. He was doing what you did to the situation.
I love you so fucking much. That's Titan's vibe. She literally runs up to a car and is like, I love you so fucking much when she's a wee child.
Wow.
And so, it also stars Daddy Vincent Linden as like her, like a man that she meets later in life.
Uh-huh.
And he's so hot in it. He's like just a shredded fireman.
Love that.
It's so weird. It plays a lot with like gender roles and like love relationships, like romantic relationships, but also familial relationships and like protection and what it means to like be seen by someone and accepted. I have chills talking about it. And then also there's just like car sex.
I mean, women filmmakers have been doing Unhinged better than anyone for decades, and
we are the ultimate unhinged queens,
so they need to be letting them do more.
Yeah,
when I'm talking about they, I mean the biz.
We demand more
female unhinged auteurs.
And Julia Ducournau is so fucking hot herself.
Really?
Yeah, like stunningly beautiful French woman, which just makes it even better.
How old is she?
I think she's in her 40s.
Fuck.
She's just like killing it.
French movies are just so good.
They do wild things that really are out of control, and I love them for it.
I didn't finish it, but I started watching a movie that came out a few years ago. It's called like something BP beats per minute.
Oh yeah, I watched that.
It's about ACT UP.
Oh,
like the AIDS that used to like go like protest and like do die-ins.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
It's really good.
I was thinking of like a Polish movie that I saw.
But there's a guy in it who's like the lead, and he's truly like the hottest guy I've ever seen. I follow him on Instagram, and sometimes I like react to his stuff. Like I just write like clap, clap. What?
That's me with the Gamora guy, so I can't judge.
But, and that girl who played the girl, the Portrait of a Lady on Fire is in it. Adele. She's in it. She plays like this fiery lesbian who's like the leader of ACT UP in Paris.
Hot.
She's fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll watch Raw.
Watch Raw and then go see Titan in theaters, because really the sound design of it is so like fine-tuned,
right,
that it actually, that was a really good theatrical experience.
Is the soundtrack good?
The soundtrack is insane. Like it creates just those like moments, kind of like a Scorsese moment where you just have like this iconic song that, mm-hmm, these characters are doing stuff to. Uses that zombie song, She's Not There, that's like, oh no one, which was in the trailer, I think.
Oh yeah,
it's,
yeah,
like, oh no one told me about her. And no, it's just like fucking hot.
And she's just like getting like pounded by like a Chevrolet or something.
She gets like railed by a Cadillac like pretty early on, and then like other things happen. Like,
wow.
It also is like very, she has like Eileen Wuornos vibes.
Yeah, I've just been like,
I just can't give anything away because I need everyone
to
see.
Who plays the girl?
This unknown named Agathe.
Is she amazing?
She's so fucking hot, amazing. Like, it's just so good.
Does she kill people?
Yes.
Okay.
She's like basically a serial killer, but then
fucks cars.
And who fucks cars and may or may not be pregnant with a car human hybrid.
Love.
Like, truly, I'm ready to fuck a car.
Friend of the pod, Eric Ellison, tweeted Titan 2021, and it was just Born This Way, the album with Gaga, like her head on a car. And I was like, what
that is Titan.
On a motorcycle. I was like, what does this mean? Now I get it.
I'll ready. Yeah.
I
think you would really like it.
No, I know I have to get over it, but I've been a little like nervous about seeing a movie.
I can't relate, but I love that.
I know you can't relate, but like I've been trying to like, but now I'm ready to head back to the theater.
Just get a seat far, far away.
Yeah.
Go into like a top corner away from people.
No, I mean, I love the movies. we're back at the movies.
I'm realizing what I will and won't roll the dice for. And I will roll the dice for workout classes and movies.
You have things that you don't roll the dice for. Like a...
Do I? I'm starting to really run out of things.
I don't give a fuck anymore.
Because I was almost going to try and go to the Alanis concert tonight, but I couldn't get a seat. I'll just roll the dice for anything at this point.
Oh, can we get into it for like 10 minutes and then we'll start Mob Wives? I need to talk about the HBO Max, the Way Down.
No, I have to watch it so we can talk about it together.
Okay.
I'll try and watch it tonight.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll cha 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 cha.
Sorry.
No, I don't
mean to shut down
fuck you.
That convo. But I do want to talk about it with you.
Go to Hades.
I should have waited for you to watch Titane.
No,
Titane
it's fine.
Is like Malignant vibes, but better.
Yeah, I mean,
if that doesn't win anyone over,
I know
that's actually like a grave insult.
We won't talk to anyone. No. Or we won't talk about.
We won't go down that road.
We won't talk about the Malignant thing. People were like sending me and you alerts about Lindsay's podcast as if it was, we didn't know.
I know. I love when that happens. I'm like, literally.
We talked about it for 20 minutes.
I know. And I need to release that episode. The rain yesterday and the thunder yesterday.
Oh my God. We can talk about that.
Okay.
That was apocalyptic.
LA had a sexual explosion in the form of
lightning
and thunder, which never happens.
But it wasn't just heat lightning.
It was
like,
real.
But even when there wasn't thunder and rain and it was just cloudy and like it was half gorgeous, clear night and then half the lightning was like exaggerated zigzag lightning, like spiral lightning. It wasn't just like
you took a photo that was
I took a
so
photo
fucking good
that truly looked like War of the Worlds. And it was for probably 8 hours. There was intense lightning. And then the wind picked up at one point.
And it rained.
It rained. Guys, it was like, we're lucking out this fall so far. Like, fingers crossed.
TBD. Let's not get ahead
of
ourselves.
Yeah, we still have a
long
way to go.
Like, it literally sprinkled. My plants didn't even get, like, a full watering.
Well, then I was like, oh, shit. But then the lightning's cool. And then you realize, like, oh, shit, it could start, like, a fucking forest fire.
You say to yourself.
But it was wild. And it was very rare. It felt... And I was out on my balcony. My neighbor above, who's, like, this grizzled, awesome car dealer from the East Coast, he went, it's like out back east. And I was like, yes, it is.
It is, sir.
So it felt like a real New York thunderstorm.
It was sexy.
It was sexy.
It started in the late afternoon, which is the perfect time for something like that to start. And then just went throughout the evening. And
the sun was going down while it was happening. It was just like this dramatic blood red sky with insane lightning.
My power went out for 1 second.
It did?
It just went doot, doot, and then came back
on. Oh, shit.
And then...
Were you expecting it to go out again?
I don't know. I'm open to anything. As long as I don't want the Wi-Fi to go out, which Jonathan's Wi-Fi went out. So we had to postpone the release of the episode because we couldn't upload it back and forth. But I just love LA's infrastructure is so fragile.
Oh, it's
like
so tenuous.
You literally have lightning for 8 hours. It's over for these hoes.
Well, I kept looking at the lightning and it was insane. Like, I know, like, you were listening to us talking, like, these Angelinos talking about thunder, like, it's...
And but weather,
it's,
but
it's
it was
rare,
crazy.
So I deal with it.
Let us have this.
Let us have this. It was like Magnolia.
It was like, Mother Nature was telling us something.
I don't know if it's good, I don't know if it's bad, but it felt...
It just is what it is.
It is what it is. And I was ready for, like, destruction.
Same.
I was like, let's just do it.
I had to go to a place of Titane because I was just like horned up and needed like car fucking.
No, it was like, I was just kind of like, you know what? If the power goes out, if this is the end, it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Did you and Simon feel like sexy together?
Yeah. We like went out, we took videos, we were out, we were watching the rain together. There were people all my neighbors on their balconies were out on their balconies at one point, just like looking, and it looked like kind of a Broadway set or something.
Yeah.
Like it was very, it was like that video when COVID started in Italy and people were like, look, all the Italians are out on their balcony singing. Remember that video? It kind of looked like that.
It did look like
that.
I
was just like, ooh, this is sexy.
Moody.
And then it was, then I kind of, but then I was watching Jersey Shore, so I was really invested. we're on season two. It's insane.
It's so good.
I don't think, I realize now I'd never watched this season when they're in Miami. It's crazy.
Gabs here.
Angelina is chaos.
She's chaos rising.
She also has
just bags, trash bags.
She has a new face. They all have new faces, but
Angelina came back in season two.
She came back and like stayed the whole time.
Wow.
They're
so forgiving on that show. Like, they are in their way. They've come for us.
They also, the slut shaming and like,
it's incredible.
It's insane.
It's a real time capsule of
the double standard.
Just that era where you were freely allowed to call women grenades on TV
and
also fat shame them, slut shame them. And we all laughed at it and thought it was the funniest and kind of still do.
Like Mike, the situation demands women go on the elliptical. Like he'll like, like he's so wretched with these women. And half the women, like, I'm like, these women are
fine
pretty
women. Yeah.
But he's like, they just, their standards are just unbelievably high for themselves, and like it's insane to me because they're not even that
hot. I mean,
hot.
Mike the Situation might be the least hot guy of that bunch. Ron is not hot to
no
me.
Ron's terrifying.
He terrifies me.
He scares me and like will strangle me to death.
Oh yeah, he'll gay bash the hell out of you.
But there was one moment and when Snooki went and JWa went out to like one bar for Miami Pride and they danced with like two tragic gays, and then they came back and Snooki's boyfriend was like, I don't want to hear about two guys kissing. And Snooki said, well, I wish I had known this before we got together because you clearly have issues. And I was like, yes, ally.
Ally
to the end.
4'8" ally.
She like basically, that was like the cherry that decided for her to break up with him.
Good.
Like a homophobic asshole.
As one should.
JWoww is incredible. JWoww going after
Sam.
Queen. The two of them fighting was terrifying.
Have they written a letter yet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So he goes, this is going to be so bad.
Ron.
They write it at an internet cafe, which is incredible.
Ron.
They said, they say waitresses, like possessive waitresses as plural waitresses. Breasts. Ron stuck his head between a waitress's breasts. He also danced with several fat women. Like, just absolutely out of control, offensive. And then leaves it in Sam's little, like, shitty little nightstand. And then Sam's like, who wrote this?
Is that when Ron, like, throws a bed through the wall?
Oh, I don't know yet, but
there's one point where Ron, like, picked up a bed and, like, threw it through the house. When Jeff is like, oh my god.
They're the most toxic relationship I've ever seen on reality
it's
TV.
It's awful.
But Snooki and JWoww, I don't think they ever actually admit that they wrote the letter. And at one point, like, Sam is like, I know you did it. Just say you did it. And they refuse to say it.
Queen shit.
They're incredible. And then JWoww comes up to Sam and goes, doosh, with her head. And the two of them fight.
She clapped her.
She, like, got like two symbols crashing together. It was insanity.
Maybe we need to recap Jersey Shore.
And they have this and they cause each other to bleed.
Yeah, they brawl.
They fucking brawl. At one point too, Ron shoves someone. Like, he shoves a woman. He shoves Snooki, I think.
Oh, he's no holds barred.
He will kill.
He'll kill anyone. He does not give a fuck, like, he's, about your age, gender.
He's my least favorite. He is so awful.
He sucks.
He's such a fucking piece of shit and, like, so mean and, like, delights in being cruel and lying. Like, I think he's, like, has a little socio.
He's also the one with the least going on.
Yeah, he has nothing going on. I mean, they're all kind of pieces of shit, minus my queens, JWoww and Snooki, but
they all managed, for the most part, to parlay into other things. Like, Pauly D is, like, a millionaire DJ.
He has, like, $40 million.
Yeah. I'm just going to turn
Okay.
But yeah, it's crazy. And Vinny's huge cock, which I want to see.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all. Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
No, I miss Jers. I loved those people so much. I still do. What they've done for the culture.
The hold they had on
America.
Millennials. America. The outrage they caused, the polarizing effect they had, how people projected so much rage and like condescension onto them. Meanwhile, they're like secretly so jealous.
I cherished them.
I did too.
From the moment they graced my screen, I said, these are the ones. This is the second coming of Christ. the third coming of Christ the cast of Jersey Shore. And it, like, I believe, like, precluded. I don't think you could have had Vanderpump Rules without Jersey Shore.
No way.
They're, like, very similar in that way.
Yeah. And, like, even I feel like up the game, like, Housewives kind of had to up the game because of Jersey Shore. Do you know what I mean? And, like,
did Jersey Shore come before Housewives or during? Was, like, at the time that there were
like
four, early seasons of,
like, Beverly
there was
Hills,
OC, Beverly Hills, and New York at that point.
No, Beverly Hills came out the year that Jersey Shore came out.
Okay.
Or, like, just maybe around the same time. So it was like 2010 was when Real Housewives of Beverly Hills came out, I think, season one. So
gotcha.
They were ahead of, actually, Beverly Hills. But anyway, they were lightning in a bottle.
What a moment.
What a moment. Good segue into
today's episode.
Talking about brawls. I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to
Sexy
Unique
podcast. The Matriarchs of Mozadel.
As I said earlier, it's the finale.
We have
a reunion.
One reunion.
Thank you for being patient while we took a little pause. Someone last week was like, is this a permanent thing or not? And I was like, it's not permanent. We'll just take a break from our show.
We're just taking a break. We had to go on tour.
We went on tour.
Yeah, the Mob Wives are special, but they're at the bottom of the totem pole insofar as, like, the content calendar. And this podcast is an independent operation, so we had to drop them for that week or two, but now we're back.
But doesn't mean we love them any less. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit less. Karen is lounging sexily on her bed, and she calls her ex-boyfriend David.
Yeah.
And she goes, what you doing? He goes, watching the Bulls.
I really hope we never see her apartment again. This apartment. I can't see another establishing shot outside of that.
It has
haunted
three
energy.
Distinct areas. One instilling more fear into my heart than the next.
I feel
the
like
the bedroom
it's a set.
Is the least offensive part. Mm-hmm. It's like that yellow.
Mm-hmm.
The living room, scary. Bright white and red. The kitchen is a full-blown
nightmare.
I'm dead on the floor and you're gonna have to bring in a paramedic to, like, shock me back to life.
I wonder if it's a set.
I don't think so. I think it's just, like, a very poorly furnished rental.
Karen goes, I finished my one chapter and I really set out to do what I came here to do. And I was like, honey, what? Like, I was like, that's me.
That's literally, I've never related to a writer more than Karen. She's still excited about this accomplishment. She goes to David, I finished the chapter of my book. Are you proud of me?
Yeah.
Literally me to anyone.
I don't know. Like, I was like, this is the first and only chapter she's written.
Queen of finishing one chapter.
She's, you know what? But
it's a huge accomplishment.
It is a huge accomplishment. And, like, let's take time to celebrate what we've done. Like, she's the queen of, like, staying in the present and just being like, I accomplished this one thing. Let's celebrate that.
Let's,
like,
celebrate Oprah. It for the next week and a half to maybe 2 weeks is me finishing this chapter. And please be proud of me.
And making several phone calls a day to about tell people it. That you did finish this one chapter.
Printing it out, giving it to a friend just to let them know.
Yeah. Karen's ex's voice is really funny. Like,
he's funny.
He's just funny on the phone.
Karen's still mad that Drita hasn't read her chapter yet. And David goes, let the haters hate.
Yeah.
Which I was like, sage advice.
She's also considering just staying in Staten Island permanently and having her daughter move there. And her husband's, she's like to her ex, like, would you want to move here? And he's like, maybe. And then he's like, in my head, I'm like, don't go back to Arizona.
Yeah.
Stay there.
Stay. But also if her life's in Arizona. I like that he seems pretty level-headed, like, with his advice. He's like, maybe if it was in the best interest for my kid. Like, reminding her that it's not all about her and her chapter.
She's all about
This is truly me. Now that she's written one chapter, she's ready for an entire lifestyle change.
And a book tour.
She's like, nothing would keep the momentum of this book going better than pausing writing and moving cross country.
Yeah. She's also, when she's taking new chapter in her life, quite literally.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm ready.
I'm
for
on
my
a
new-
roll. So now it's time to take a break and organize an entire cross-country move that will at least take up 2 months before I restart writing again.
She's like, I'm ready for a new chapter, but not until next year.
Yeah.
One chapter a year for the next 40 years.
That's been my rate so far.
That's the 40-year book plan. 40 chapters, 300 pages, and 40 years.
Me, I'm like two paragraphs and then a two-year break and then a revisit.
Yeah.
So cherish.
Charon.
Chapter Karen is doing great. She goes, thanks for helping me.
She's I like, maybe you. I'll get back together with him. I was like,
this chapter has changed everything in her life. She's reconsidering relationships,
religion,
hometowns, religion,
her
friendships.
Concept of God.
Yeah.
Wow. Renee goes back to the therapist, and I'm like, her therapist must give herself like a pep talk in the mirror every time she has Renee coming. You know Kelly's in the mirror being like, God, grant me the strength to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom of the... Hi, Renee!
You got this, Kelly.
Like, it's... She's...
She has to train her face to just not react to a single thing Renee does, which is a skill in and of itself.
Yeah.
She goes, how are you feeling? Renee goes, I'm happy. Because I made the decision to remove Junior from my life.
And she's like, she knows this is but a fleeting thing.
She goes, can you be a little more specific? Because I'm sure Renee has said this to her 3 million times.
Stoned.
She goes, how are you? And Renee goes, stoned.
Honestly, though, I live for Renee. She followed you, but not me.
Renee follows me now, and because she got her vaccine recently and like shared on Instagram.
Which I like. She was hesitant.
I love. Yeah, she was scared, but she did it. And I just wrote, proud of you, baby. And then she followed me, and I cherish this follow so much. Like, I pray to God she doesn't get pissed at anything I do or say. Like, she is my queen. I just don't want her to think poorly.
I also don't want to be on her bad side.
Me neither.
No, like for my life.
No, same.
But now she's living her life. She has a hot man.
She's her hot boyfriend. She has stoned the pizza restaurant.
She's traveling to it. She's like,
she's posting a lot of like
Houston
realization quotes.
She's
posting
Staten
a
Island.
Lot of inspiring quotes, which I think either means you're in the best place or the worst place of your life. There's no in between. I'm going to take it as she's in the best place of her life.
She's by mid-coastal.
Mm-hmm.
She's Houston by way of Staten Island.
Opening stoned, taking stoned worldwide.
Stoned.
Also, she goes at one point in her therapy session, she goes, you know, it's like, I love him, but I love me more. And I was like, Samantha Jones and Renee are one and the same.
They are.
She's thriving in therapy.
She's thriving. Kelly's happy.
She goes, scented. I'm scented. I'm definitely a work in progress, but I'll get there.
Oh.
She will.
God bless her.
She has made leaps and strides.
She has.
And she realized, she's like, I see the women in my life making progress, doing new things, and I think I want to be one of them. I was like, she's really breaking through.
She's allowing herself to have a perspective that she didn't have before. She's allowing herself to see other people progressing and being like, I want that, which is healthy.
And I can have that.
And I can have that. And that's a sign of growth.
That is.
You see other people and not envy them or resent them and be like, wow, I really love what they're doing. And I want that for myself in my own way.
And I'm going to work to get that and do the work on myself to get there.
God bless therapy.
Bless therapy and bless Renee for letting us in, because this is a very vulnerable place to be in.
She had a lot of growth, and we know she slips right back in the next season.
I love that her sister, who is filming this show and producing it, is probably very proud of Renee.
Oh, yeah. Carla's kid slept at Joe's friend's. He goes on the weekends, he gets to stay at his friend's. He gets to leave the halfway house that he's in and gets to go stay with a friend. So her kids went and did like a slumber party with him at his friend's house, which is cute.
Yeah. She goes, "Hey, Joe, what's doing?" When what's she calls doing? Him. Now she's, that's what she's saying on the phone. She says it a bunch in this episode.
I was a little,
which I didn't catch before.
I was a little caught off guard by that. And then Joe's like, "Oh, they put me to work. Didn't sleep a wink." And she's like, "Welcome to my hell."
Yeah. You get to have them for one night a week. No.
Carla didn't bring much to me this season.
No, Carla's a real...
She's kind of a flop. Not a flop, just a... Well,
she's like a... Just a limp piece of pasta. To put it in Mob Wives terms. To put it into terms that we can all understand.
She's a gnocchi without the gnocchi.
She's just an empty ravioli.
She's a stuffed shell without the stuff.
She's a shell of a woman. A shell of a shell.
She's lasagna without the zon.
She's a sheet of lasagna stuck to the pan.
She's spaghetti without the meatballs.
She's...
She's a marinara.
The pasta without the manigot.
She's marinara without the calamari.
Your descriptions are a little more like avant-garde, no, but I like
Italian.
It. Nicole comes to Drita's house for coffee and a chat.
Nicole comes bearing her infant, and she's wearing a very Teresa Giudice big bow for the daughters. And I have to say, like, this whole time they're talking, Drita at one point is swearing up a storm and screaming, and I'm like, if I were a new mother and my infant was in my arms and my friend is like screaming in a kitchen, I'd be like, can you, we need, I'm not like.
Oh, infants are fine. They don't pick up on that.
Really?
Well, I mean, like, it's not like they're going to learn a curse word.
I know.
That just... kid's more worried about bottle.
No, I
when
know.
They're so little like that.
I'm not talking about like repeating words. I'm talking about the energy.
Yeah.
Like it might be.
Probably not great energy for them to absorb.
But Drita doesn't care. Drita.
Drita don't give a fuck. She goes, she's pissed about Karen's chapter, which I honestly think she should have read by now, but she didn't. She goes, that's the thing. I didn't read it. And I'm like, maybe you should read it
the whole
before
point
getting angry.
The whole point of this feud is something about a chapter that you've never read. You have no idea what's in it.
That you have in your possession.
That you have. And by the way, seemingly the only copy.
So you better... It's precious.
I feel like Karen didn't save it on her laptop.
No. I think we did decide that she just finished her chapter and immediately printed it out and gave it to Drita.
At one point, she goes, I want my chapter back. I'm like, honey, that's... Email it.
Now I just got to get my goddamn chapter back.
That is also like... aspirational writer tip. Don't save any of your
don't
work.
Save it. Just print it out. Give it to your sworn enemy first and foremost. And then just cross your fingers and hope that they read it and give it back. I love getting so mad about something that you could easily read and then make an informed decision over. But instead being like, I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to get pissed.
I also love that Karen didn't send it to her editor, not her publisher. She sent it right to her enemy.
The person she's most concerned about reading the chapter for the book she's writing and hopes to get money and like make like a living for herself off of. Yeah, isn't any of the people that could actually help her achieve that. It's the person that hates her the most in this town that she's in right now.
Drita.
The Drita, town that she's thinking about moving back to.
Drita goes, you know... She goes, Karen and Lee broke up in late 97, and I hooked up with Lee in late 99. I just was laughing at the late.
I said, what a time.
What a time. Pre-Y2K.
I picture it.
Right?
Yeah, I like can see it in my mind's eye.
Hackers.
Total hackers vibes.
Strange days.
Late 90s.
She's all that. Like, a vibe.
Drita goes, I don't think I want anything to do with a fucking book. Fair enough, but you should just read it.
Also, you don't have to worry about it because it's never going to come out. It's not going to come out for another 10 years.
At this rate. Karen, I guess, was living with someone else and pregnant with their child when Drita got with Lee. So in my mind, it's like...
And they were and
fine.
Drita and Karen weren't speaking.
According to Drita.
But
we find
later
out later
that's
that
not true.
Karen thinks that that's not true. They have completely different reads on the situation.
Look, I see both sides of this. It is I see Karen's side of being perturbed. It's someone you lived with for 7 years. And then another person that you lived with gets with them. This person that you
a
kind
friend.
Of thought was like a close girlfriend of yours or just friend. If you, and then they're now fucking the man that you used to be with.
Yeah.
Like I would be a little like, wait, that's because that's just weird to me.
If
it's a little weird.
If a close.
If a close friend fucked your.
If started, a close friend, I have a couple exes that I truly wouldn't care about. And I have maybe one ex that if like a close friend took up with him and then had a relationship and they had a kid together, I would be like, whoa, what the fuck?
No. So like I see Karen being like, everyone has that one person that it's like.
Hands off.
Or just respect that I had this complicated past. And if we're friends, you would not do that to me.
Yeah.
But I also see Dreeter being like, whatever, she was off living her life. We just got together.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's like, I see both sides.
It's layered.
It's Dreeter layered.
Goes, I'm this close to going on enemy line. Okay, Colonel.
Okay. Colonel Dreeter.
Colonel Dreeter.
Sergeant Dreeter.
I wrote, Dreeter should probably just read the chapter.
Dreeter should be like a drill sergeant at boot camp.
She would make a great drill sergeant. I don't know about a great like war
no,
planner I'm... because she is not one. Like the art of war really recommends like it's all about waiting and being patient and then like striking when the moment is right. And Drita, that's not her strong
suit. No, but just being like her job is just to make people scared and feel helpless.
Whip them into shape.
That would be, that's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Karen meets Renee at another restaurant.
They meet at Francesca's Steakhouse.
Want to go there?
I want to go there.
Let's go there.
All right.
Karen sits down. She goes, I finished my first chapter. And this is, she's embarking on her first chapter book tour.
It's a tour where she's going to local eateries and steakhouses across Staten Island and just announcing to the people that work there.
From friend to friend and all the employees.
I finished my first chapter.
Hey, she says at the hostess stand. She goes, I'm Karen. I finished my first chapter. I'm here to have dinner and celebrate.
And then everyone at the table, everyone at once just stands and applauds her. She walks in. There's like a clap. It's like in Titanic when Rose is walking up to Leo at the end.
She goes, can you just a dessert, send a little something over and have them sing? Because I finished my first chapter.
Yeah. It's like a full celebration.
Mm-hmm.
There's a parade in Staten Island for... Karen's first chapter.
It's happening this weekend. The first chapter parade. First chapter parade.
The Knights of Columbus are there. In Williamsburg, there's this festival. I forget what it is, but it's like this Italian festival and off the Graham stop. And you would love it. It's all love. Like...
Do they carry a saint?
It's kind of. It's like a carnival, Italian carnival.
Yes.
But it's like that. It's like there's like Knights of Columbus. There's beef and beer benefits. There's a banquet. This is all, no, I'm talking about for Karen.
No, yeah, I'm like, just imagine. I'm yeah. transporting myself to this like
and
beautiful
like,
Italian festival,
the San Gennaro festival that's in Mr. Ripley with like the statue. You know what I mean?
Totally. There's another festival that was in to take it back here. I know you guys are ready for an episode of Gomorra. Yes, where one of the head bosses attends and he's like very, very religious and all these like Italian men march and they like flagellate themselves at the same time. So they like hit themselves with something spiky and their chest bleeds and they're just like marching.
Catholics love to
Catholics
be
are fucking wild. I would not want to partake, but no. I love to see it. Glad it exists. Don't love the molesting of children.
No.
But love everything else.
Catholics love like a horny pain ritual.
They love
masochism.
Like BDSM.
But there's like a big parade. There's skywriting. There's Italian clowns on stilts. All for Karen's first chapter.
Clowns on stilts.
She's like, and she's on top of a...
holding just papers.
Yeah.
To represent her first chapter.
She's on top of a float that's replica of Clams Casino. And she's just waving at everyone in Staten Island. She has a little sash on, flowers. People are going, congrats on your first chapter.
She goes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, the celebration all for me and my chapter.
My chapter. And then Renee is driving it. She's driving the float. She's going, stone.
Stone. stoned.
And then Dorita's on the back of the float with a cigarette.
She goes, I don't think I want a part of this fucking book. So they sit down, and over the course of this lunch or dinner,
it's a dinner. It's like late spring, early summer at this point, I think.
I think Karen gets drunker and drunker until she goes from like fine to very, very pissed off.
She's blackout.
She's talking about Lee, and she's like, he doesn't want to be in my book. He says he'll crack my head open. I'd like to see that punk ass motherfucker. I'd like to see him crack my head open. And I was like, Karen, you're blackout if you're talking like that.
Also,
this man can and would do that.
Yeah. Also, like, this is so normal that they're like, my friend's husband is threatening to
crack my
split
head open.
My skull open.
And I take it in stride and say, I wish he would.
And I'm welcoming it. And Renee's like, yeah.
Renee goes, I just think yous two need to spend a week alone in the woods. Either yous both come back or one of yous comes back.
This is how you settle the score.
It's a terrible idea.
No, but it's also like, actually,
go to the woods and fight to the death.
It's very medieval.
Mm-hmm.
Very medieval. But you just send two people, two sworn enemies into one space, give them both weapons, and just see what happens.
What's that movie that's supposed to come out with like Matt Damon in like a weird wig?
The Last Duel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jodie Comer.
Like,
Ben
we're
Affleck.
All on the same page that movie is bad, right?
Well, it's Ridley Scott.
I just like don't get the facial hair elements of that. And I guess they're like accurate, quote unquote. But like, sorry, you're going to need to make them way more hot if you want me to get interested.
Yeah. I mean, Ben Affleck.
You're always DTF.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt Damon, I'm a little afraid of.
I'm just like,
I'm afraid
do
of
I
Damon.
Care about these people in this situation?
No. Everyone's like, it's the reunion between the... I'm like, oh.
I don't give a shit.
Fuck about Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
Me neither.
Getting together.
Like, having a dick measuring contest in medieval times.
I ride for
jousting
for Jodie Comer.
Love her, but also don't care.
I don't really care, though. I don't want to see her in a wig.
I know.
Just play Villanelle.
Like, yeah. I don't care about like her single tier acting.
Can she just be the main character? And just kill people? I want her to be like James Bond.
Yeah. I'm just like, really? With that movie. Anyways. Drita calls Carla.
Take it up with the biz.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Carla again goes, how's it doing?
How's it doing? And you see Drita, she goes,
what's doing?
Drita goes, Carla, I need you to meet me at Buddha Lounge. Which I was like, okay,
so
Buddha
dramatic.
Lounge?
Buddha Lounge is like a central location for these ladies.
We discussed that this is where Dina and Danielle met. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's several.
No, there was like, was there a chain of them?
I think there might have been a chain in this
okay.
area.
I pray that my life travels take me to a Buddha lounge at some point in my life.
I don't think they're open anymore.
It feels like a very that of that era.
She goes, meet me at Buddha lounge. She's like, where are you right now? Can you meet? She goes, well, I'm just in the area doing some shopping.
She goes, I can meet you there in maybe 20, 30 minutes. She goes, okay.
She goes, I got a lot on my mind.
And it has like Drita just like getting out of the car and like it captures a still shot of her like looking up at the Buddha lounge sign. And I was like, this, what could she have possibly uncovered?
What could she have expected? She seemed surprised.
Yeah. And they finally sit down and Drita goes, I found out something really, really fucked up that's about to change my life about Lee.
This part did. This part was sad.
This is.
Oh, it's a horror movie.
This is truly.
I got chills watching
pinnacle.
It.
Pinnacle. Staten Island mob wife drama. Yeah. Like, people write movies about this shit, but Drita's living this shit.
It gave me, like, it chilled my bones.
Yeah.
The way, also, like, the... Anyway, so Drita basically tells...
Kala
that she recently went into her hair salon, a hair salon that she, I don't think, had been to before with Aaliyah. And when she walked in, one of the hairstylists said, oh... You can bring Aaliyah into the other room to watch TV. And Drita was like, I've never seen this person before. How does she know what my daughter's name is?
And Drita goes, I sense bitches out in a heartbeat.
So Drita approached her and was like, wait, have we met before? And she's like, oh, no, I was dating someone that Lee knew a while ago. And I knew he had told me about his kids. And she's like... But something still didn't feel right.
Something wasn't right. So she called the owner. Drita called the owner of the salon to sniff out who this rat woman is. And it turns out that Lee cheated on Drita with this salon lady.
Yeah.
And to, like, would bring his kids in.
Bring Aaliyah as a baby.
To see her. So she knew, like... She knew all of Drita's kids.
It's like a horror movie. It's also like the way she's like, oh no, she goes, she was dating someone who's tall and dark,
and he had a tribal tattoo.
And that's when Drita knew it was Lee.
Yeah. And she goes, this man was not single, this man was married. And she goes, not the man that came in here. Ooh, like bringing the kids into the salon,
that's like living a double life.
You're trash.
Trash. Sorry, Lee. You're written off.
You're fucking trash.
You were already written off, but now you're written off even more.
I really feel for Drita.
No, it just freaked me out. That's like, you know, in a movie when like someone finds out that someone is actually the killer or something, and it's like, oh, he came by, or like someone came by and they have one thing as defining feature and the person describes it and then the person knows that it's this. Yeah.
No, I know. I feel you.
I'm gonna go shove my head through a window.
No, I got you.
You're like, yeah, Carrie, I know.
No, I got you.
Yeah. Was that me mansplaining?
No. You just felt, hey. Like, I know. Stoned. Hey. I know what yous is trying to say.
I want yous to go into the woods and two of yous come out. You and Tony's.
Yous go into the woods and only one of yous comes back stoned.
Bring a pizza pie into the mountains, go to a cabin in the woods, and one of yous comes out stoned.
Two of yous goes in, one of yous comes back, and that's stoned.
Stoned is a state of mind.
Stoned.
It's a pizza place.
Pizza place and a state of mind. I hope Renee...
Should we go to Stoned?
Yes.
But no, I can't eat the pizza.
I'm sure they have like sober pizza. Drita goes to her lawyer's office.
Well, first Drita goes... Lee's lucky I found out while he was in prison. I guess God was looking out for him. She would have
clapped him.
She would have like slashed his throat with a box cutter.
She would have invited him inside, kicked him in the balls, and then he would have fallen to the ground and she would have smashed his head in a door frame over and over and over till his skull bled out of his eye sockets.
All right, Gamora. Dreeters, but I really like she's chilled me to the bones many times this season, but I really felt for her.
Well, yeah, I don't think she deserves that. No, especially when she's been loyal to Lee while he's spent more time in prison than out of prison in the scope of their relationship.
I just had a really
sick
thought.
And she just took sexy photos.
I know,
for
I just
him.
Thought about that, but I had a sick thought.
What?
What if he actually isn't in prison?
Wow.
And it was just like hanging out somewhere.
That's why he's like, I don't know. And that's why he can call all the time.
Can you imagine?
That would be
bone chilling.
Unforgivable.
I mean, I told that one story.
Yeah.
Like it's.
He. Wow.
I'm sure he was, but like, can you imagine if the
I
whole
hope
time...
she leaves him. Shit like that. I don't she think didn't. She does. Yeah.
No, they got a. There was that video where they like assaulted some woman together earlier in the year. So Dreeter goes to an attorney who literally looks like an Andy Dick character.
J-Bomb.
J-Bomb.
He invites her into the office. He goes, Dorita?
Dorita?
I was like, you should run on your for like, that is an instant no.
He goes, are you Dorita?
Dorita? Come on in.
He reminded me of, remember in my year of rest and relaxation, her therapist?
Yes. He doesn't look real.
No, he looks like an Andy Dick character. Like, he looks like Andy Dick. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Kind of, but...
When Andy Dick did, like, that character in the movie Road Trip, who's, like, the motel clerk.
It's just, like, something ain't right. It is, like, a disguise. It's, like, a late 90s, early 2000 comedic relief disguise and, like, a raunchy comedy. I just wrote, in parentheses, has an interesting look, ... But he does seem to know his shit.
No, he's good. I think he's like a good New York lawyer. And he goes, so your husband's away. He knows the lingo.
Yeah. And they decide, he's like, you can file for divorce. And if we were to do it, we would cite irretrievable breakdown and then serve him the papers. Imprigione. And Drita goes, hypothetically, what if he gets these papers and says, I ain't signing these? And then they were like, well, you could sue for custody and you'd like have to duke it out. And then Drita's like, I hope that he doesn't like, I feel like he wouldn't try and fight me because you don't fuck with a bitch that's scorned.
And he's like, yeah.
I think their marriage is so volatile that a divorce would be even more volatile. You don't go from that kind of marriage to like an amicable, chill divorce.
I almost think they should just never see each other again.
Definitely, but there's kids involved now.
Also, there's sitar music playing. I was like, what's...
This scene is weird.
It's weird. He's also, at one point, she's like, starts breaking down, and you just hear him go, oh.
JS bomb.
He's like, kind of consoling her, but he's also like, he's got his boundaries up.
Mm-hmm. Carla's friend comes over.
Well, Carla's friend calls her, and she goes, hey! She goes, I just saw the kids playing two blocks up. And then Carla goes, I know, I seen them. I just love that.
They sit on the stoop and Carla just tells her friend she's worried Joe's going to show up at her door and try and move back in.
This was a real like New York moment. Like two ladies sitting on the stoop while their kids playing. You know what I mean? Like it was a real like suburban
I New hope York. That Carla keeps her boundaries strong and does not let Joe move back in.
I think she will.
Yeah.
I actually think it sounds like he gets it and respects. I mean, who knows?
Let's hope.
But it sounds like they have a good balance going on. And I think Carla's has a clear plan of what she wants with her life.
And she has the sense to understand that for the kids, most of all, it would be really fucked up if he moved back in and then moved out and they would just like suffer because of that.
And also, but she's also, but when we say that she has a clear plan, she's also dating a pig.
Oh yeah, I forgot about her pig boyfriend.
That kind of makes her judgment a little sus, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Karen and Dorita, they have this phone call that I wrote, I did the...
You transcribed it?
I transcribed it.
It was... Uncanny Valley.
It was the weirdest phone call I've ever heard on a reality show. I'm not even kidding you, and I'm not trying to be hyperbolic.
No, I thought that too.
I was like, I had to watch it. I watched it four times.
Do a dramatic reading rendition of it.
Here, let's do it together.
Okay. Hello?
Karen.
Hey. What's up?
What are you doing?
Nothing. Just cleaning. What are you doing?
Are you busy tonight?
No, I don't have any plans. Why? What's up?
I think the four of us need to get together tonight. You down?
Okay, I'm there.
Okay, cool.
Okay, bye. It was too calm.
They were both simmering with hate for each other. Mm-hmm. But it was also like, I was like, damn, that is... I felt like I was watching like the pod people.
It was like...
Body snatchers.
Total body snatchers. They were no longer...
Humane.
Inhabiting their own spirits. Something else had taken over.
It felt like Lynch.
Yeah. Drita, one by one... Also, this is like unnecessary filler. Her one by one calling all the girls, going, I feel like we need to get together with the girls. Mm-hmm. And she calls her name. Renee goes, ooh, should I wear my heels or sneakers?
It was truly... one of the strangest things I've seen.
It was very strange.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Hello?
Hello.
Nothing? What did you just clean in? What are you doing?
Hey, what's up?
It was so bizarre.
And Drita's laying on her back, like, on
staring at the ceiling. She's her, just channeling.
Yeah, her, day bed.
She's fully possessed at this point in time.
Drita goes... in the confessional, tonight's the night I reveal to everyone I didn't betray Karen. And Renee's just excited.
Can't wait.
She's like, I got the best seats in town tonight.
Drita goes, I've had enough with all the stress in my life. And Renee goes, I'm looking forward to this conversation. And then she calls Carla, and Carla's, what's doing? And she's like, come here. And she's like, okay.
It's very much like, stop trying to make what's doing happen, Carla.
Yeah, Carla's please, new God. Catchphrase.
So they meet in the worst place in the world, which is Murray Hill.
Oh, my God.
At a bar, rooftop bar called Rare, which I don't think exists anymore. I think it's permanently closed.
They come in. Renee is obviously the first one to arrive.
Of course they go to Murray Hill. Mm-hmm. Sorry to anyone who lives in Murray Hill, but it's fucking hell.
Is that the closest to Staten Island?
No. Oh, okay. Murray Hill is between, on the east side, towards the East River. It's between the East Village and, Midtown. And it's where...
the Midtown.
In the Midtown, it's where, it's kind of where, bros and, the women who enjoy them live. Lots of sports bars. Mm-mm. I've had weird day drunk days there where I'm randomly in a sports bar doing blow in the bathroom. And
no.
It's hell there. But of course they would go there.
Renee, when the other girls finally arrive, she goes, I can't with you girls. You're never ever on time.
You're never on time.
And that's kind of true if you think about it. Renee is always the first one at the restaurant.
That's why I fear that you. I really relate to her. I'm too prompt.
I was like, that's Care.
It is.
Karen sits down. She goes, what's going on? I was thinking there was going to be a big surprise. Congratulations. You finished your first chapter. Still with the chapter.
And then all of a sudden, there's a firework display on the East River. And you suddenly see people just pouring out in the rooftops of New York. Applauding like they did for all the frontline workers. Just everyone
banging pots and
banging
pans.
Banging pots and pans.
And going, congratulations, Karen!
First chapter! Congratulations, Karen!
They're blowing Roman candles off of their terraces.
Yeah.
Then finally, Drita arrives last. And she sits down. Renee goes, so you call the gathering? You have a javel? You're going to hold court? Javel.
Also, Drita at one point says, Renee is under the assumption that I got with Lee the same year. Yous broke up. Assumption. Javel.
What, javelin. You got a javel?
I was like, javelin. Shot putting javelin.
So you called a gathering. You have a javel? You gonna hold court? No.
Stoned.
Stoned.
You got a javel or something?
You got a javel? You gonna hold court? No. Gavel.
A gavel, honey. No. Renee.
I love her.
I know.
Then Drita, they just have a lot of timeline conversation.
There's lots of assumptions made.
Assumptions.
And Karen is adamant that they were still friends when she and Lee got together, but Drita will refuse to say it. She goes, we did not talk, Karen.
And Karen goes, I was cheating on Lee with Dave and living with Lee at the time. And it's like, okay, well, you, yeah, it's just so messy.
It's messy. And it's also you're not making yourself look
any better.
Or like you're like the victim in this.
Yeah, like that. Then that makes me feel like you actually don't care that much about this person.
You don't care about Lee.
Also, just let it go.
Shut the fuck up.
He's in prison.
She has two kids
with him. Like
she won.
Yeah. Litigating this and like getting mad about it won't change the fact that what's done is done.
Also, she won, but she also didn't win. So
yeah, just be glad that you're not with Lee. Fucking cheating bastard.
Yeah.
And then Drita goes, "You fucked my boyfriend when I was with Lee."
Ooh, that was a revelation.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, oh, damn, okay. This is now. And then
finally it amps up and Renee goes,
whoa. Renee goes, ooh.
And Karen goes, "I didn't fuck your boyfriend. I made out with him and you ratted me out, you bitch." And then that's when she gets up and Drita goes balls to the fucking wall.
Well, this was a moment where when Karen, her face when Drita threw that bomb out, I was like, oh, this is real.
They were hiding. I think they were like dancing around that subject and like were in a silent agreement not to say that.
I know. And I honestly think Drita was like, I feel like Drita was actually being like a good friend, being like, I'm not going to bring this up that you did that.
Yeah.
And then
like,
Karen,
we all know you did this shit. So stop talking about this thing and if, like, let it the fuck go. But if you keep up,
I'll bring it there.
I'll fucking take you.
And then they charge at each other. And then at one point, Renee jumps on top between them.
Karen gets up. Renee goes, no! And then grabs Karen in like a football kind of sack position. Drita comes.
A sack when you...
like when you grab them to tackle them. Yeah. But you like grab around the waist. Yeah, like you grab them around the waist. So Renee's around Karen's waist. Drita coming from the other side. Renee throws Karen on the ground to like block her from Drita and then lays on a bench in between them. Drita is straddling Renee then, whose dress is fully up. Her Spanx are completely exposed.
She's also like, her legs are fully in the air and Drita's in between her legs and she's slapping her, trying
to get at Karen, who's on the ground, and Renee's like blocking.
She's like, oh no.
Renee goes, "Drita, let go!
Drita, let go of me!" And then all of a sudden, there's like suddenly 45 production people, and they're all trying to, and they cannot get Drita off her. Drita's
like fucking possessed. She's serpent at this time.
And at one point, they finally get them up. Renee goes, holy shit. And at one point, they separate Karen and Drita on either side of the roof. And there's dozens of production. And they're keeping them apart. And then from the other side of the roof, you hear Karen go, "Drita, come back here, you bitch." And they zoom in on Drita's face and she goes, "She's coming."
Renee gets up from being like just in the middle of this brawl and she goes, "These two girls are going for each other's jugular." And then Karen, as on one side, she goes, "I'll keep coming for you, you dirty hoe." And Drita goes, "Go back to where you came from, and motherfucker."
And
Renee is trying to pull her dress down to her Spanx. And she goes, "No."
But there's a zoom in on Drita's face. Her eyes are red. They're completely bloodshot.
The last frame
in her eyes, and she goes like this. She goes, "She's coming. She's coming. She's coming back.
No, no."
Carla left.
I got a phone call.
No,
no.
She's coming.
She's coming.
She's starting. She's coming.
She's coming.
She's coming.
Get back here, you bitch.
But she goes, she's coming.
She's coming.
No, but she says it in like a delight. Like she's like,
she's ready to brawl again.
Oh, she's coming.
Like, if only Renee hadn't gotten in the way, Drita could have just like fucking killed Karen.
Oh, she would have ended her life. I love. Drita, get off me.
Drita, let go.
No.
These two girls are going for each other's jugular.
Renee loves it.
No! trying to fix her spandex. I love that she had like a full pair of not even like black Spanx on. She knew that maybe that things would come to a physical point where I don't want to have my underwears out.
She had her triathlon shorts on. Yeah. She had Iron Man shorts on.
Treater, let go.
What are you holding court? You got your javel?
What? You called a meeting? You got your javel? You gonna be holding court?
It escalated so fast.
It went from zero to 60.
I don't even remember what they were talking about by the time it all went down.
I was really bored. I was like, get to the brawl. And then finally, truly in 1 second, all it took was for Karen to stand up.
She's coming.
She's coming. Get back here, you bitch! Go back to where the fuck you came from, motherfucker! No!
She's like, oh, shit. No! Get back, Trina, no!
Trina, let go! We all need a friend like Renee who will literally grab us and throw us to the ground. She'll jump in front of a speeding train for you.
And take a literal jackal woman.
No!
No!
I'm excited to see what they all have to say for themselves on the reunion.
It was a very, like, it just ends so abruptly.
Then it's over.
But they were like, it was serious.
Yeah. Production, I feel like they hired a bunch of like
dudes
for the day to just like
day rate.
Rip these fillies, these broads apart.
These fillies.
These fine fillies apart.
Oh
no! That's me with the Spanx on. That's me trying to pull on like a full bodysuit of Spanx.
No! Oh, Drina, no!
Drina, let go!
God, I love her. All in all, I give this season a 6.
Yeah, I give it a B minus. I guess season 2 is where it ramps up.
Well, yeah, then Big Ange comes in. So
maybe we just need to go into season 2. Yeah. Because this delivered some lulls, but it wasn't...
No. Renee was really She was the showstopper, but I think Big Ange is, like, essential.
Yeah. So we'll do some research and we'll get back
to you.
We'll
figure out.
Yeah.
We'll see if it's something to... Let us know if you liked it, if you liked the series. I mean, we got one more.
I think this made a lot of people yearn for tough Sicilian bitches. And I feel that. I do like there being a rotating element of like Italian American representation on this podcast.
An Italian American yourself.
I'm like a Dolezal of Italian Americanism.
Oh!
No, I'm actually not. Like, I don't try and be that, but like, I would if I decided to get crazy. If I decided to go, that's not even like transracial, that's just like
heritage.
Trans heritage. That would be my thing.
No!
Renee, Trina, let go!
She's fucking vaudeville.
She's truly a performance artist.
She is. Oh!
It's like should I wear my heels or sneakers? Oh, I'm excited.
It's all her shots. Oh. But yeah, we'll be back next week with the reunion and, get ready for it. And
I like when you sum it up at the end of the podcast.
I don't know. I try to bring some kind of,
you try and like really tie it up together in a nice bow, but it's great.
We'll be back though. And you know, get ready for our East Coast takeover.
Yeah, it's coming. We're coming.
We're
Philly,
coming.
Boston, New York.
She's coming.
She's coming. She's coming. We'll never be the same after we wipe our hands clean.
I was waiting for her to go, clever girl.
Clever girl.
But yeah, follow Lara at Lars Marie.
Follow Carrie at eCario. And
watch Gamora.
Watch fucking Gamora. I've literally gotten one person to watch it. But it's a job well done.
It is.
For me. But watch it.
Ciao.
Love and light.